Welcome to the World Service Conference 2019 Fellowship Day. My name is John, and I'm a debtor.
Hello, John.
Please join me in opening with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. A word to newcomers. If you are having problems with money and debt and think you may be a compulsive debtor, you have come to the right place. Debtors Anonymous can help you. We offer face-to-face telephone and internet meetings, and we suggest attending at least 6 meetings to have an opportunity to identify with the speakers and become familiar with DA before deciding whether or not this program is for you. If you identify with some or all aspects of compulsive debting, we hope that you will join us on the path of recovery and find the peace, joy, and love that we have found in Debtors Anonymous. The topic for this workshop is sponsorship. Each speaker will have 10 minutes. So please proceed.
The topic of our workshop is trauma and sponsorship. So it is a the focus is for me about trauma because trauma and DA have a lot to do with themselves for me personally. I didn't know that when I first came in. I came in hearing the word deprivation, and I identified with that. So I knew deprivation was a big part of my life, and I knew it was the metaphor of deprivation, that it was something that was translated throughout my life. I lived under, and I had a martyrdom of the way that I could live on so little. The message from my family wasn't that my needs were not met. It was that I don't have any needs. And I lived very happily with that. I lived very happily not needing anything, feeling superior to people who did need things, and came from South Africa where there was this thing about money, the root of all evil, and I identified with the have-nots more than I did with the haves. So when I came in have not, I felt superior on some levels and really okay. So I came into DA because of deprivation. I heard it. I was in another 12-step room. I then took to the tools extremely well because that's how I was. What I heard in my first thing was we can't even talk about a spending plan or anything with you because you don't have anything. So we have to get you to have some things so that we can start to talk about it, which means that you have to work no matter what. You have to earn. I did become totally willing to earn, and there were certain things that I heard, like if you buy your own TV set and not just take your friend's seconds, your relationships with your friends will change, because I thought that being the one that got was so loved because I was such a moral and good person that my friends gave me all their things. I didn't understand that there was an imbalance in that, that there was a, and things like I would buy 4 toilet rolls and run out and steal a toilet roll from someone else just so that I didn't know, go buy a 24, go buy, you know, like just get, start to live in a proper way. So obviously for me, DA worked enormously well. I started to earn great. I started to show up in a very diligent way, and I got big, big financial gains. If you have nothing and you do DA, you can only go but up. So I earned a lot of money, and my life became much more manageable. Now I'm working many 12-step programs at the same time because I realize, and I believe that coming in from having other 12-step rooms helped me a little bit more than what often happens with people who come into DA, because we don't talk as much about, I was deeply entrenched in step work. I was talking about the outward manifestation of a much deeper problem. I was looking at recovery. This wasn't just about money for me. It was about a deep sense of recovery that I needed in all areas of my life. And my life was unmanageable in many areas of my life. I had a PRG where there were 2 people who said, your life is pretty manageable right now. You're earning, and you have a spending plan and whatever. We now have to start to talk about what do you want. And I am one of the people who had an absolute breakdown in that PRG. I shut down enormously. I totally shut down. So much so that I was sort of sleeping, passing out. The people there said, okay, we won't do this. We'll try it a different way. We'll go a different way. Let's try and just talk about some things that we can with you. And I was way dissociated. I was way gone because I had never talked about myself, what I needed, who I was. So when they asked questions like, what do you need? What do you like? What's your favorite? What do you want? It was a major anger that came up because I couldn't answer those questions. It was way too powerful, painful for me to start to be present in my own and then also to be able to start to know questions that I had no answers for. I had no answer of what do I like, what color, what anything, because I had come in so separate from myself. I was a person who made other people's dreams come true. I had done that my whole life. I was really good at it. And when the focus became on how am I going to live my life, it was extremely painful. Thank God there was a therapist as one of the people in the thing, and she said, this is trauma, and you're going to need to go and get some trauma help before we can continue to do anything else. So as sponsorship, I would be very aware of that kind of thing where you are dealing sometimes where people need a higher level of care, and there are certain things that they need to look at that are deeper than why we just can't do things. So it isn't always that we're defiant, and it isn't always that we are lazy or whatever it might be. It can come from a deep sense of dissociation and stuff that we have never heard about living our own lives and starting to have a life that is free. The second thing that happened for me was codependency. And I was so enmeshed in what other people's lives were. So this idea that I had to differentiate, totally differentiate and understand that I was to live my own life and have a life that was separate from the connection that I had with other. Because to me, telling me that I have to get on with my own life meant that I was going to be alone and that I had to start to have my own sense of self. So the trauma work started to happen in a very big way. And what also happened was I got a sense of much more compassion and much more understanding of myself and my sponsees on why they couldn't do things. And my sponsorship, the nature of my sponsorship changed dramatically. I was no longer so militant in we've got to do this, you've got to do that. And it was with a little bit more understanding that the affirming way of sponsorship was very important, and also to give people steps that they could do, to not set people up for failure, to understand that the small victories are the way we do it. So when we share something, it's not my story, but when we share something like, it is my story actually, when we share something like you write the check and then you keep it in your purse for days, and then you put it in an envelope, and then you keep that for days, and then you put a stamp on, but you've got the stamped envelope for days, then you get a charge for late fees, and then you put the envelope in the mail. And just understanding that for me, writing the check, putting it in the envelope, putting the stamp on and mailing it is an enormous accomplishment. So for other people that might not be, they don't understand that, but for me, an enormous accomplishment. So they were small victories that I started to add up on, and they still are. There were also things like some things that I'd achieved, like working in a corporation. John and I met there. What happened for me in the corporate world was I didn't really understand the corporate game. And I have an activated personality that I didn't know what was going on. It's very uncertain for me when there's a bigger agenda and I don't know where I fit into the nature of the world. And there were things that were happening that my personality, I do come with PTSD and I do come with trauma and an activated state of being, so that when I was dealing with certain things, I didn't deal with them in the corporate way that you're supposed to behave. It wasn't a good fit for me. I still today regret that I don't have the 401k that I would have had and the salary that I was earning, because that stability was very, very good for me. But the nature of the business in alignment with how I am, which isn't only about going to work and earn, it was about that I had to do something that didn't trigger me, because I do come with this. I'm not just a DA, a financial person where I can just get my life together and get business and earning. I am here for recovery. I have some deep, deep problems, and there's certain areas in my life that really activate me. They always will. So the choices I make now are very different, so that I can stay in my body, so that I can stay grounded on the floor. I can't just go out and do what other people do. So the nature of my sponsorship has been very, very different. There are two things, though, I just want to mention that I try to do. Number one, I don't deal with things that I can't. So there are certain things like that in that PRG when someone said, you need to go and get trauma help. They couldn't help me with trauma. I needed to go get some outside help and then come back a little bit more grounded so I could face the things that they were asking of me. So to recommend some help, that to know that as sponsors we can't do certain things, I think is really important, and not take on this thing that we are the people who are going to tell other people how to live their lives. So we keep it too, which is very helpful in DA, because it's specific. Let's talk about the numbers, let's talk about your actions, and let's talk about how you can do them. And if you can't, get a action buddy, get away, bookend in the morning, bookend in the night, so that we can do certain things that you couldn't do on your own. The other thing is that I try to keep DA separate, say, for example, like Al-Anon. So Al-Anon is where we talk about our feelings a lot, that we really bring up how we feel about things. And in DA, I try to keep it in professional. Let's not talk about the big feeling things. I don't want to go down the feeling road with you. What are the professional things we could do? So let's keep it to specific. Let's keep it to just a professional. This is the way to work. This is the way to earn. This is the way we keep our numbers. Can you take this action? And so by keeping it very specific and out of going down the rabbit hole where I can't get myself out and I can't get the person out, I keep it very surface to the numbers and to being professional. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Kevin and I am a debtor. That's what we introduce ourselves like that, right? Still here?
Yes, yes. I was so into what you were saying. You're so amazing, Sue. That was, you just said everything. I loved it. This is my first panel this is the first convention that I've ever been to of conventions and 12-step programs. It's the first time I've spoken on a panel at a convention. I've spoken on other panels. I'm also, I'm a member of DA. I'm also a member of the other fellowship, the main fellowship for 21 years. And would like to bring to this is being a sponsor and also being a sponsee. And I realized that I battle with a lot of times, does this really work? You know, am I really giving into it that this really works? That I am a debtor. I believe in the mothership that I've admitted. I know what happens if I pick up the first. I really do. But after I came into DA in 2011, I still feel that I can buy that shirt, and it's not going to have the same effect as if I pick up the first liquid thing. And it's and I play with it, and it also has to do with me with honesty, with telling the truth. I guess the trauma and sponsorship that I have is that I have, and I love, Sue, that you brought up the word PTSD. I only thought that was if you were a soldier, you know, if you'd been in war and you see dead bodies around, that you would have that. But I've been in therapy many times, willingly, unwillingly, and this time around, I've been in therapy, willingly. I really want to grow. I really want to be honest and I really want to grow what is going on with me and knowing it more and telling the truth. And I'm married for a long time. I have two kids. We have a house. And I've been in therapy now for over a year. And for me, I'm battling the, and this used to sound, I used to roll my eyes at this, but I'm going to repeat it. I'm battling the little Kevin in myself running my life. And it usually runs on fear. And it comes up to situation. It comes up to, why can't you get a career? Why can't you do this? Why can't you follow through with that phone call? Why can't you follow up with that? And it's usually the little Kevin in me that thinks he has to handle it. And being a sponsee, and I would call Albert a lot of times. I have an amazing network of people in both programs that I can call 24/7 that love me. And I know they're not going to throw me away. And I would call Albert. And I would be driving and I would be in tears. And it's little Kevin, fearful. And he would say, okay, can you pull the car over? I'd pull over. And he'd say, okay, can you turn the car off? Are you safely over? And he would talk me through, take some breaths. Okay, what's behind this? And he would talk me through having the little, now that I realize the little Kevin running it, thinking that he needs to show up and handle this scary business thing. He needs to handle this job, or he needs to go into this meeting, or he needs to promote you. And in therapy, I've been realizing that, wow, I don't have to throw the little Kevin out. I don't have to, you know, push him out and quickly shut the door and leave him out in the cold, which is how I was raised by an angry father, that if I wasn't perfect, you'd be out. I don't love you. You're a stranger on the street, blah, blah, blah. And how does that bring in with Debtors Anonymous, earning? Because it's scary, you know, it really is scary. And I never knew how to really treat the scariness gentle. I would judge it and I would bring out a whip. I would like, how dare you be so weak? How dare you, you know, if it's only, you know, my wife is successful and she has her way of doing it and she doesn't have the things that, she doesn't have the crutches that I have. And she would try to say, well, you should just, you know, I can't just. I really can't just. And then I go, why can't you trust? What is wrong with you? And then the little Kevin comes in. He's like, my mom passed away a year ago. And I used to still fantasize about, I'm 53, that I can still run away. I can still run home. And I can still move in with my mom and be there. And now that she's passed, and again, here's where my own eye rolling would come in when I would hear a therapist say it. Or I was in a yoga class. I mean, I know I was literally, I've been taking yoga. My wife and I take yoga. And how does this fit in with sponsorship, sponsor? It's taking direction. I have an action partner and he said, I was hyperventilating, crying to him on the phone because it was, little Kevin was leading it, the frontlining it. And I'm so terrified. And I have a feeling that if I let the little Kevin run my life, it will end up bad. It would really, it will end up with, you know, driving into traffic or doing something bad. I'd never felt that in the liquid program. But when it comes to this, it goes so much deeper and it's so scarier because it's over. So I was literally in a yoga class and I used to judge when people talked about that stuff. I think I would judge it. And I think it was more that I was envious. That I was really envious of them taking care of themselves, doing it. And I was literally in yoga yesterday, and I now do that 3 times a week, and it's changed my life. Yoga, staying sober, therapy, you know, being a good husband, being a good father, all that stuff. And you know when you lay at the end in the Shavasana position, which is the corpse position, which is what my therapist said, and I would miss my mom so much. And I was literally laying in that position yesterday and I could feel the sadness, the hyperventilating of the scary little Kevin come in. I'm alone. And the flip side was that out of nowhere, the grown-up Kevin came in, and I suddenly was, and I had to open my eyes, and I looked at the ceiling, and I was calm, and it was like, you know, and the grown-up Kevin came into the little Kevin in a gentle way and said, you know what, I've got this. You're fine. I'm gonna take care of you. You're gonna be okay. And I was at that cliff of going with the little Kevin because I'm used to it. I trust the little Kevin because I know the feeling I'm going to get. And I went with the grown, and I was laying there, and I was like, and I was sitting afterwards, and my wife was in class, and I said, it's had the strangest thing. And I told her what went on, and she said, that is so amazing. Because I feel, a lot of times I feel threatened by my wife because of her success and the way she can charge forward no matter what. And she has her things. And it's an excuse. It's easier for you. It's hard for everyone, really. It really is hard for everyone. I mean, and I know that's 1 minute?
No.
Okay. I have a mentor who is extremely successful in the arts and the writing world, and he still says, I'm still waiting for them to find out that I'm a fraud. So I don't think it ever goes away. And I remember my sponsor said he got a check for $50,000. It doesn't fix anything. I wanted to buy a Porsche. And I called a friend of mine in DA. And he said, I've had three of them. The most I got out of one was a month. It doesn't change anything. I am so grateful for being here. I'm so grateful to sitting next to you guys. I love you. Albert, I love you. You've helped me. Albert has helped me so much. You still do. And you take the time. And I always thank you. Because it's really, I can't do it alone. So I'm super grateful for being here. Thank you so much.
All right. I'm going to stand up. That way I get to see you. And you get to see me. Hi, Elizabeth. My name is Albert. I'm a debtor. Hi. I know some of you, but thank God I don't know most of you. That's very refreshing, and I really don't know what I'm going to say. I there really is nothing to add. I've known these people for a long time and very, very deeply. How many of you have been here less than 5 years? Wow. Okay. Any more than 10? Great. You, I know. Anybody less than 2? Wonderful. Okay, good. Because we're talking about something that I don't think when these carts got rolling, they were talking about trauma. Trauma's not mentioned in the big book. I think this is kind of new age. And in DA, I'm in this many programs. I'm not going to show God this hand. I say, we got enough going on over here. But this is the only program where I've heard the word trauma, and I've heard the word shame. And I don't know what I'm going to say. I made notes. I have no idea if I'm going to hit these notes. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's important to me that I keep it simple, I keep it honest, and I keep it about my experience, strength, and hope, either being sponsored or working with a sponsee. I hit a point in recovery. It took me a long... I'm a man. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to go away. I'm not going to come back. 12 steps, I'm going to work it out. I'll see you later. That's how it's going to do it. It took me a long time to drop that mantle of self-sufficiency and to let people know me and to know about other people. At this point in my life, I should have been a member of a country club up the road on a Saturday out there. There's no place I'd rather be than with people in recovery. No place I'd rather be. This is my country club. There's no 19th hole. For those of you who don't know, the 19th hole is the country club way of saying, have a drink. My parents are buried up the road. You pass them. It's a Jewish mortuary up there. Jewish cemetery. But they'll accept other people if you've been in the service, you know. Or you're married to somebody. You're married to one of us, you'll get in. Because we're better than anybody else. We're chosen. What I came to find out is that Gentiles felt the same way about themselves. So I had no intention of doing stand-up because that's not my business. But I may have found my calling. Come on in, you'll be served. Come on in. But what I want to get back to is that I didn't know that trauma was running my life. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. That was a setup for a whole field of pain dysfunction. Now, some of us come from trauma similar to that. Some of us grew up in alcoholic homes, and some of us have both. And I'm a double winner there. And I thought I dealt with that until I was about 50. I'm 66. Until I was 50, and I was doing a PRG with Sue and another fellow. I couldn't talk. Couldn't speak. They said, you need to get some trauma therapy. And I had the money at the time, and that was my investment. That was my gift to myself. I walked into that first session, and I just wept. I came back in the next session. I just wept. I came back third session. I just wept. My theory, this is my Cliff Notes about recovery. We're born with unnatural gifts and talents. We either have trauma, we grew up in alcoholic homes or dysfunctional homes. And that incident or repeated incidents and that arena we grew up in imbues in us a false belief system and a faulty way, for lack of better words, of going about our lives. And we don't know what's running us until we hit something that causes the pain for us to sit down and go, this isn't working. And if we're lucky enough, we come into these rooms, whether it's AA, OA, DA, SA, SL, AAA. I didn't finish college, but I got a bunch of initials after my name. But I can tell you that. I can't tell them that. They're not going to get it. You get it in here and here and here. We get this. We get this global connection. So if we're lucky, we find these rooms. We find a program or two or three, whatever it takes. We get some outside help. And we sit in that pain, and we sit in that grief, because that's what it is. It's grief. And the old way gets dismantled while we do this work. And then we recover who we were supposed to be, what our gifts are. I didn't know what my favorite color was. I didn't know what the color of my eyes. That's how estranged I was from myself. So if you're working with a sponsee who has these challenges, you can recognize it. You become sensitive to it. If they start doing the writing and, okay, well, let's just sit with that. I'm not an advocate for let's get these steps done. I came from that. I don't do that. I had to learn to be patient. I have a family member who says, you want to do this such and such and such and such and such and such. I said, gee, I don't know. Can't you make up your mind? I just made my decision. I'm not going to go on that thing. Can I get back to you? When are you going to get back to me? How about tomorrow at noon? Okay, great. How much time do I have?
About 2.5 minutes.
Beautiful. Because I'm going to utilize this. This has to do with time. I had a former sponsor. Gee, he used to say, what are you doing with your time? And I was like, what the fuck? What is this? What are you doing with your time? Shock. to my system. Now, even saying that just now, I have to get back to my feet, feeling my feet on the floor, feeling the carpet. Just for a moment, check in with your feet on the floor, your body in the seat, your back feeling supported, even if you slouch or sit up straight. See how the most important person in the world, you, feels right now. Okay, pick a color. If you have your eyes closed, pick a color. So, while you're in that place, think about something, someone, somewhere that just brings you joy. It's a puppy, it's a baby, it's a cat, it's a musical instrument, it's a piece of music, it's a painting, it's a place, it's a sunset, it's a sunrise, it's the ocean. So just stay there and I'll just talk. So how does this relate to sponsorship? It's holding space while someone goes through this process and is stripped of all these things that should have fixed it and all the impatience. And Kevin spoke beautifully about his father's perfectionism. My mother had my mother could do quadruple binds. But my favorite double bind of hers was, if you got angry, she would say, "You're going to lose me." And then she would say to other people, "Albert doesn't get angry." Oh. People say, "You're so calm." I said, "Well, don't be fooled. There's a Chrysler under the hood." It's okay if it's a Chrysler. I mean, that may sound very male. But whatever it is for you, you're entitled to it. That's your unique, God-given thing. But coming back to sponsorship is for me the key is just hold space for that person while they go through this what can be very inelegant process, because no one sat with us and said, "How do you feel?" No one sat and said, "Well, let's do this checkbook. What's your favorite color? What do you like to do? What do you like to do for free?" Just keep doing those things. And what do I got, a minute? That's time. Okay, so my time is up. Thank you for letting me be of service.
In closing, we would like to remind you that in Debtors Anonymous, we practice Tradition 12, which is the principle of anonymity. This assures us the freedom to express ourselves at meetings and in private conversations without fear that our comments will be repeated. We keep what is shared at meetings confidential. As we work the steps and practice DA's traditions and concepts, we are reminded that recovery is possible and that we are all here for a common purpose, to recover from compulsive debting one day at a time. Please form a circle and join me in closing the workshop with a serenity prayer.
God.